ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hi everybody, welcome to Scare Blast podcast.
Woo!
I'm your host, Lisa Burton, and I'm joined here today by...
Andy North.
He is a former colleague of mine at the Museum of Science and Industry. He is a world-famous creator of... the great games of Galactic Gladiators and Dodgeball Dungeon, which are live-action dodgeball-type LARPing kind of games. You may have seen them in the Chicago parks around this summer, and you probably didn't, but you may have.
Maybe.
And Andy chose the movie Jacob's Ladder, starring Tim Robbins. So we are talking about Jacob's Ladder today. Andy.
Yep.
Can you tell me why you chose the movie Jacob's Ladder?
Yes, and I was surprised that you had never seen this movie.
Yeah.
But it is kind of weird and obscure, right? It's from 1990, which I didn't know. I thought this is the 80-est movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's bizarre. The actual aesthetic of it also seems a lot older than the movie actually is.
Yeah, it's very odd. But I picked it because I was a big fan of the Silent Hill video games. Listeners, if you like video games, I suggest you check out Silent Hill if you haven't. Because they're like these great horror video games, and I had never, when I played them when I was a teenager, I was like, I've never seen anything like this, played the first one. And so, like, I went online to the internet, which back then took like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was looking around and being like, what sorts of stuff are like the type of horror that Silent Hill is like,
because
it's a really weird kind of like existential dread type of horror that you don't usually see in horror movies. And like everyone was saying how all these games are basically like a direct ripoff of this movie Jacob's Ladder, which is why I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah.
Well, and do you like scary movies? Let me ask you that too.
Do you find this? I find that I want to like scary movies more than I like usually do.
Okay.
Because when I'm like, when I think about scary movies, I think, ooh, yeah, being scared like I was when I was a kid, where it's like, I might genuinely read or watch this thing and be scared shitless for like the next week.
Sure.
But it, like, as I get older, I tend to not find stuff that does that to me anymore. Because it's like, nothing seems worse than, like, the actual terrible things that could happen to you in your real life.
Yes.
Like, it's like, yeah, a monster's probably not going to jump out and eat me, but, like...
But, like, I can't make my rent by the first,
what if I'm super embarrassed about, like, having to borrow money from my friends?
Do you like the experience of being scared?
Yes.
That is something you like.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does this movie do it for you?
I remember that
it did
the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
The second time I watched it, knowing, like, what's going on, it's less scary because it's like, oh, he's in no real danger because, like, he's already dead and these guys are trying to help him. He just doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
So it did, like, I don't know. It seems silly, but that kind of, like, ruined the horror aspects for me because I was like, oh, that demon looks super scary, but she didn't actually die.
Yeah.
She just got a horn through the back of her head.
Yeah. Okay, now let's talk about the plot line to this movie.
Yeah.
Will you outline this movie for us?
Okay. A little bit? So the very beginning of the movie, we have Jacob in Vietnam, in the jungle. And all of a sudden...
Which is spooky in and of itself.
Right, there we go. You can't really see anything because there's all this jungle around, right? Everybody's already seen the movie, right? So we see that, then... everyone starts, like, freaking out and yelling that there's enemy contact, so everybody just starts shooting into the jungle. You never see any bad guys. It's just like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, everybody shouts, movement in the bushes, or movement,
And everybody starts shooting each other. People start getting blown up, like, there's just carnage, and, like, people's limbs are hanging off.
Yeah.
Some people just freak out immediately and, like, sit down and start crying. Jacob runs off into the jungle. Go ahead, sorry.
They really do not skimp on the gore in that beginning area. It's like, it's blood and gore, and they show you people's shredded legs, people's, you know,
one dude's arm is like dangling by just a little bit of skin.
It is, and some of the more realistic gore of any scary movie I maybe have ever seen. Terrible.
And then, so he gets stabbed, and then the rest of the movie starts.
Uh-huh. And he gets stabbed. The look on his face is surprise. They end the war scene with him getting stabbed by some kind of musket thing, right? Like
a bayonet, yeah.
Yeah, bayonet, right. So,
he gets stabbed by a musket, and he's confused, but then at the end of the movie you find out it was Benjamin Franklin, hence why he was so confused.
Yes, I don't know my guns. I do not know my guns.
You have to stab people with a musket, because once you fire it, it takes 7.5 minutes to reload it.
I seriously don't know. okay, so he gets stabbed by a bayonet.
No, but I read, apparently, if you know army stuff, and I was looking for a phrase in my head that was not army stuff.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with army stuff. If you know army stuff.
Sure.
Like, apparently it spoils the whole movie because the bayonet that he gets stabbed with in the beginning is like a United States infantry standard issue bayonet.
Oh.
So you would be able to notice that it's like, oh, he got stabbed by an American soldier,
so
not a Vietnamese.
So you would have known.
Yeah.
Had you that knowledge prior.
Right.
Fortunately, neither one of us do.
That's right.
So anyway, they cut from that scene directly to him and his girlfriend who's topless. Spoiler,
topless a lot.
Spoiler a lot. So many boobies. With
only hers, though.
Only hers.
Are there any breasts in this movie that aren't hers?
I don't believe so. It's supposed to be present day 1990.
I think so, right?
The timeline is so weird on this. So anyway, so he's with his present-day girlfriend, this Elizabeth Pena. Her name's not this. I don't know what her name is in the movie. But he's with her. His name
is Jake. Do they mention the date anywhere in the movie?
They don't. Mm-mm. His name is Jake Singer, his character name. And it's played by Tim Robbins. And he is a fox. I think he's like a nerd-looking fox.
Is he a nerdy fox in this?
Yeah, he's a nerdy fox. He's a fox.
He's a really nice guy. That's what I noticed about this.
Yeah.
What?
Like, as a person?
No, in the movie.
Oh.
They make Jacob out to be, like, the most nice person in the whole world.
They really do. But they... Oh, no, he's on the train, right? They come back to him on the train.
Yeah, he wakes up on the train and he's reading The Stranger, I think, by Albert Camus.
But he shows it to an old woman, right? He asks an old woman for directions or something.
He asks an old woman if they pass the stop because he was asleep.
Okay. So then he asks this woman for directions.
She does not give him directions.
No, she does not. And he notices there's some kind of snake-like thing under her skirt or something on his way off the train.
On the way off the train, he sees like a weird tentacle-looking thing. He also almost gets hit by another train. He can't get out of the, like, subway station because it's blocked off.
Yeah.
It's like... And also, I read that in a deleted scene, which apparently was filmed but not included, he sees a man getting raped on the subway.
What?
Like, on his way out. Yeah. It's, like, it's rough. This whole scene is, like, to establish, like, that he's in some sort of, like, weird... hellish New York cityscape.
Okay. So, he, right. So, that happens. Then he gets home. Jezebel. Her name is Jezebel.
Her name is Jezebel.
Bible. They bring that up.
Oh, and I don't think we explained why she's the worst. She's, like, very, like... So, he sees a... One of his kids dropped off photographs at their house.
Yeah.
He's estranged from his wife. He's living with Jezebel now. She doesn't remember the name of the son that dropped off the photographs. And then he looks at the pictures and cries when he's looking at them because it's a picture of his dead son.
And she doesn't hold him. She gets upset at him for being upset.
Right. And then she grabs the photographs and burns them. So it's like the most efficient way of making us hate a character I have like ever seen.
Yep.
I mean, maybe you're not supposed to hate her, but it's definitely like Jezebel's not a good person.
Mm-hmm. So then they go to the party after that?
Yeah, they go to a party and they're all dancing.
They're dancing. He gets hit on by, like, three women at this party.
Right, and Jezebel's there.
Yeah.
And she, like, doesn't care because she is having vigorous sex dancing with a dude.
She does this weird sex dance. Well, first he gets his palm read by a woman, and he's flirting with her, and it's cute. And Jezebel walks by and says, "Are you flirting?" Oh, and it's kind of cute. They have this cute exchange where the girlfriend is like, "Are you flirting?" And then he's flirting with this... woman who's reading his palm and says, "Well, your lifeline ends here, so clearly you're dead.
You're already dead.
You're already dead." she also kind of talks about his hardship or some like hardship he's been through, and then lets him go dance because there are a bunch of women asking him to dance.
But he doesn't want to dance. Jacob doesn't like dancing.
He does not want
to. With good reason, as we find out, because it turns out if you go dancing, you get impaled on a demon horn.
Yeah, you get like weirdly dance fucked and then impaled by a demon horn, which is what happened to his girlfriend Jezebel when she danced with a man who she thought was going to really dance with her well.
Right.
And he also kind of like sees this weird long-haired bearded man out of the corner of his eye and then notices that this man sort of turns into a weird demon-looking thing he saw on the train.
Yeah. Which I read about, like, that technique that they use a lot in this movie where they film somebody at a very low frame rate and then play it back at a normal frame rate and it makes it look like they're head and face are whipping around like super fast.
Oh yeah,
in a way that's super unsettling.
A lot of horror movies use that. Is that a, is there a term for it?
There, I don't know that there's a term for it, but I think this was the first movie that used it because they said they wanted to create something in like something using film that was as unsettling as the pictures of Francis Bacon. That was what they were using as their inspiration, and Francis Bacon's pictures tended to be like people with deformities or people with, and it was usually specifically deformities that made it, like, unsettling to look at them.
And that quick frame looking picture thing.
So they're like, let's start with a normal person, but film them in such a way as they are, like, moving in an unsettling way.
That is so neat.
Isn't that neat? So he looks up his old buddies.
Yeah.
And they are trying to get a class action lawsuit against the government because they think that the government did some weird chemical experimentation on them in the Vietnam War, and
just because they're all having the same experience, and they all go to this guy's funeral, and they all start talking about it, and they all get nervous about it. They were doing LSD experiments on them in Vietnam, and
it's like that rage virus from flipping 28 days later.
Right.
It's the military equivalent of the rage virus.
So they gave them the rage drug so that they would all rage out and do more kills. And the gas man says, well, you guys did do more kills than any other squadron. You absolutely did more kills. But the problem was you did them on yourselves.
Being dead has an adverse effect on your relationship, especially when demons are trying to rip your life away.
It's so stressful.
It's like the most stressful thing. It's like, oh, I gotta come home. You come home, and things that might on another day be like real small things, like maybe your wife didn't clean up, or maybe like, oh, I don't have any razor blades left, or like, no, we're out of like toilet paper or whatever. No. But also, there were demons stalking you all day.
Yeah.
Like maybe you don't have the emotional.
I'm sorry. I can't even fight with you right now and take care of your emotional needs, so maybe we should both just go to bed angry.
Sweetie, I love you so much. I was in a hospital for the last 3 days where demons were boring into my skull. Well, like, I literally got wheeled on a gurney through a hospital where there were hands, severed hands all over the floor today.
Guys, this happened in the movie.
So maybe you could lay off for a second?
So, let's get to the denouement, which is he goes and sees his chiropractor, whom he has a close relationship with. His chiropractor...
Who's probably an angel.
Yes, probably an angel. His chiropractor, in fact, gives this quote... which is, if you're afraid of dying, the devils are tearing your life away. If you are happy to die, the demons are freeing your soul of your earthly, attachments. So when you're going through this, like the demons that you see, if you're resisting dying, these demons are tearing your life apart.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just accept it, if you're dead and you accept it, then the demons are actually freeing you.
Do you know what I just thought of?
From your earthly possessions. Yeah, what did you just think?
Because you saying that, because I wondered in the movie, why is he hallucinating that he's with Jezebel? When he's with his wife, he's even saying, he's like, I had a dream that I was with Jesse from work. Like, yeah. What a nightmare that would be, right?
Yeah.
But I thought, I'm like, why then, after he's dead, would he be hallucinating that he's with Jezebel?
Mm-hmm.
But what if, before he went off to war, he had an affair? Like, he cheated on his wife with Jezebel or at some point and had, like, guilt about that? And then, like, as he's dying, because so much of the movie focuses on his relationship with her, I wonder if, like, that's meant to be what's implied, is that the demons are focusing so much on that because it's like, you need to forgive yourself for this. Like, it was a bad thing you did, but okay, like, let it go.
Yeah.
And, like, because now you're dead and you're not going to have time to atone for that. That, right?
Yeah, totally.
What a crazy theory.
Yeah. You sound really even Jezebel right now.
Oh, boy. If you're still listening, even anyway.
So I thought, I thought this movie, like, overall was kind of a mindfuck. Watching the whole thing was a little weird and trippy, and by the end of it, you do find out he's dead. He's been stabbed by this bayonet thing, and then all of this weird hallucination stuff that's been going on seems to happen in the moments between him getting stabbed and then him actually dying, which he dies on an operation table in Vietnam. So at the end of all of this, he's laying dead alone. He's the only body in there, which is weird. He's alone, and doctors are walking away from him in Vietnam. I thought that that part of it was kind of predictable.
Mm-hmm.
It was, that portion of it was kind of predictable. The drug portion of it, I thought, was not as predictable. But I will say, I did not know the actual history behind this movie, which there is an actual, there are reports of them using BZ, which is also known as, and I took this down as a note, it's known as quinuclidinyl benzoate, or BZ, which is...
Is that what that shortens down to?
Yes, BZ, benzoate, which is, it's quinuclidinyl, benzoate. Yeah, I thought that was super interesting. So, apparently this BZ drug was in fact used between 1950 and 1975.
Which is crazy, because it couldn't have been used in the movie. Like, in the movie it's implied that all that stuff was not true. Because he, the guy that played the conspiracy theorist who told him about the gas in the first place and his hallucination, was the doctor that was trying to save his life when he was on the thing. So he's hallucinating that guy's face. But then also, it's like, he died before any of that would have come out. So that's just him imagining that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Which is weird that it's like, this is a real thing that happened, but the...
No, I actually thought that that... I thought the idea was that he, that did actually happen, but that he was one of the men that died on the field. I get what you're saying.
Right.
It was all within his hallucination that all of that happened, right?
Right.
But and again, this movie is highly interpretive, which is also why it's interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I did take that as a fact in the movie. That actually happened. Because of his face when he got stabbed. Because his face happened, and later they reveal that it was his friend that stabbed him.
Oh, right.
And that was part of the reveal of why he was stabbed in the first place.
So maybe it's like supposed to be like an angel telling him or something. Or like, because they established that the one dude's supposed to be an angel.
Or maybe the doctor actually was saying it. Or maybe, you know, maybe they were talking about it while they were operating on him or something, and so maybe it's implied that that was part of his dream or part of that piece.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to our trivia questions. So here's the first one. This is within the movie.
Okay.
Tim Robbins, a.k.a. Jake Singer,
yep,
gets very sick immediately after that party.
Mm-hmm.
He's so sick. He's got a very high fever, mm-hmm. a very high temperature. Do you remember what temperature his fever is?
I do remember. Jezebel says to the doctor on the phone
yep.
that his temperature was off the scale. And she mentions that it then means that it's at least 106 degrees,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah! Bing, 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 bing!
Nice! And then when he wakes up, it's Lewis Black who says doctor. Like, I had to look it up because I'm like, is Lewis Black in this movie?
Wait,
and he
it?
Is. Oh, it's Lewis Black. The
Whoa.
Comedian Lewis Black.
You guys.
Has one line as the doctor that saves him from, like, dying in the hot tub. Or at least it's just there when he wakes up Crazy. From his coma in the tub.
All right. Next. And you've already said this one.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What was the video game franchise that was inspired by the movie Jacob's Ladder?
Think about it, everybody at home.
Think back.
Silent Hill.
Yeah, bing, 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 bing. Okay, my third question was, the author of this particular movie
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
also wrote another supernatural...
Hollywood blockbuster.
Hollywood blockbuster.
Do you know what it is, audience?
Do you know what it is?
I do.
What other movie did this screenplay writer write that was a Hollywood blockbuster?
That movie was Ghost.
Bing, 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 bing,
with
bing,
a very
bing.
Different tone
yes.
than this film. Which I think is crazy. Because Ghost got greenlit before Jacob's Ladder did.
Yeah.
It was
oh,
crazy,
really?
Right? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so it's like, if you are like, oh, another screenplay by the guy that wrote Ghost? Awesome. Like, boy, are you ever surprised by Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Here's another trivia question on that same note.
Mm-hmm.
The director, Adrian Lin, can you name two other major blockbusters that Adrian Lin directed?
I don't think I can.
Okay. I was surprised by these, too.
Adrian Lin directed... some blockbusters. No, what were they? Wait! Hold on.
One of them stars Madame Glenn Close.
Nope, nope, nope. Don't
Fatal
know.
Attraction.
That seems to fit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
With this. The other one is 9.5 weeks.
That I wouldn't have guessed so much.
He directed 9.5 weeks. And there are a number of other movies he directed that were major blockbusters. But those
9.5 weeks is the Hugh Grant movie,
I think 9.5 weeks. Yeah, is it? It's the Hugh Grant one. What are your trivia questions?
Can I ask you my trivia questions?
Yes, I can't wait.
Great, because I was worried that our trivia questions were going to overlap, but they did not.
Good.
And I was, in looking this up, I was really excited because Jacob's Ladder was a way more important movie than I thought.
Okay.
Like, everyone was super excited about this movie in Hollywood
yeah.
when it came out.
It's a big deal.
And I thought it was just like a horror movie.
The script was written 10 years before the actual movie came out.
Yeah, man.
Which is why I thought that was really interesting, because, I mean... Vietnam, I would expect this movie to have come out 10 years prior.
When I think of this, I thought it was like a 1982 movie.
Me too.
I was super shocked to find out that it came out in 1990.
That was another question that I had. Do you think the aesthetic of this movie, do you think it's modern 1990? Because I felt the aesthetic of it was like 1980. Although, I guess now that we know that he's dead or dying.
Yes.
Great.
The idea is that everything that Jacob encounters in the movie is
yeah.
something that... could have that already probably existed during the Vietnam War.
Sure.
Like, he doesn't encounter any technologies or any TV shows or any specific things that wouldn't have existed
yeah.
in the world that he already inhabited. We don't see anything specific to 1970 or 1980.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter when the movie takes place.
Pretty timely.
And it doesn't contradict with the fact that he's having... it's all a hallucination of his.
Yeah.
All stuff he could extrapolate from his own brain.
Cool.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yes, totally great.
Anyway, many actors sought the role of Jacob
uh-huh.
in this film because it was meant to be a high-profile film. Which of the following actors did not ask to play the role of Jacob Singer? Al Pacino, Richard Dreyfuss, Dustin Hoffman, or Richard Gere?
Is there only one answer?
Only one of those four people did not seek the role of Jacob Singer in this film.
I'm going to guess the second one, Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss did not seek out the role
Woo!
Of Jacob in the movie Jacob's Ladder. Yeah, all the other three. Interestingly enough, trivia unrelated to the movie, but side trivia. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the movie Total Eclipse of the Heart was originally written for Meatloaf by his songwriter who'd been working with him for years?
Whoa!
But the thing was, the two had a falling out during that time. They later made up. But during that time, Total Eclipse of the Heart, the guy sold it to Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, so cool.
Can you imagine Meatloaf's version of Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Yes.
He would have fucking nailed it.
He would have nailed it.
Ah, second question. Silent Hill.
Uh-huh.
The game series that was based off of, heavily influenced, let me put it that way,
yeah,
by Jacob's Ladder.
Uh-huh.
They're known for having multiple endings. Each one also includes one joke ending.
Ooh.
Involving what?
I'm going to guess a large hammer.
Great guess.
Thanks.
The actual answer is a dog. The Silent Hill games are famous for their dog endings. Because the secret ending of the first game, if you did a series of very specific activities, at the end, the main character goes into a room after this game that's a very creepy horror game.
Yeah.
He walks into a room and he sees a dog, a very cute dog, at a series of control screens running everything that has happened to the protagonist.
That is so funny!
And he says something like, I knew it was you the whole time! And this dog turns and goes, and then the credits roll over a happy, funny dog song with a bunch of pictures of the dog doing silly things. So they kept that in all the other Silent Hill games. You can always beat a Silent Hill game and find the secret dog.
That is so weird. Okay. Do you have any others?
The third one. Yeah. The last one.
Can't wait.
1990 is the year that Jacob's Ladder came out.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin played Jacob's dead son, uncredited in this film.
Yeah.
However, this is right before Macaulay Culkin became a nationwide success.
Uh-huh.
What is the name of the Saturday morning cartoon in which Macaulay Culkin starred beginning in the year 1991?
Yep. Oh my god.
He voiced the main character who was also, like, drawn like him, based on him.
Yeah, I know. Oh my god. I used to watch this cartoon!
1991, the Saturday morning cartoon. Macaulay Culkin did the main character's voice.
I'm going to guess it's called Neverland. I have no idea. I can't remember.
Great guess. It was Wish Kid.
Damn it!
Macaulay Culkin plays a young boy.
Yeah.
Wears a magic baseball glove.
Oh, yes! Wish Kid!
In which he caught a shooting star.
This is so great.
And because of that, the baseball glove is magic, and if he punches it 3 times and makes a wish, that wish will come true, but only temporarily.
Ugh.
And then the wish will undo itself at the most dramatically appropriate time.
Wish Kid.
Wish Kid.
I love it.
Yeah. I remember the episode in which he wishes that he would win the lottery.
Uh-huh.
And then they're about to bulldoze his house to replace it with a bigger house. Ugh. And that's when his wish vanishes. So they're like, oh no, we made a mistake. You didn't actually win the lottery. And he has to, like, figure out a way to stop the bulldozer from knocking his house down.
Oh, man.
You'd think Wish Kid would have learned his lesson. He never did.
Thank you for being on Scare Blast Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
What a spooky October this is for
so
all of us.
Fun! Do you have anything in October going on?
Yes. I think at the end of the month I'm going to be hosting an event. So if you follow my blog at, it's called biggameswithace.tumblr.com.
Cool.
You can, or if you just do a Google search for Big Games with Ace, that's probably easier. You'll see. I'll put all my stuff up on there.
That's great. Thanks so much, Andy.
Thanks, Lisa B.
Yeah.